Hello and welcome to Southside Church Podcast. For information about our church located in Cape Town, South Africa, go and check out our website, southsidechurch.co.za. We trust that the message would inspire you today.
So this past Sunday, many of you wouldn't have been here, but for those that were here, we shared Vision Sunday, and we were speaking about vision for our lives for the week, and everyone left with a kind of a week devotional that had a prayer each day and a time of reflection on Jesus, and that whole seven-day devotional was about God's invitation to us. And if you weren't here or don't know what I'm talking about, Jesus ultimately invites us to follow him. He invites us to follow him throughout our lives as our Lord and Savior, through the good times and the bad times. He invites us. It's not like you one day make a decision one day when you go to church to put up your hand so you get a free ticket to go to heaven. It's an invitation to follow the living Christ now. And that invitation is not just so that Jesus can take you to the mountaintop where you blessed a brother. Oh, the blessings are your breakthrough, because life's not like that, and Jesus didn't promise that. In fact, he said really discouraging things like, hey, guys, in this world, things will suck. I'm like, no, in Jesus' name, that's the devil. But now I'm a follower of Jesus, life will be good. You see, when Jesus invites us to follow him, he's not just inviting you to the mountaintop. He's also inviting you through the valley. And in the Bible, valleys are often a metaphor for difficult times of darkness, despair, defeat, or discouragement. And in fact, some of you right now may be in that place. And we read in Psalm 23:4, a portion of scripture that I so often read, where the psalmist writes about following Jesus in the everyday as a good shepherd. And he says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. So God assumes in this life you will go through dark valleys of despair and defeat and discouragement. But we are told that even in the midst of that, we can hold on to the fact that God is with us. In the dark valley, God is not ahead of us, but beside us. We can abide in God as much in the darkness as in the light. And I want you to know that even in that place which seems like there's no end, he can still bless us even when we feel broken. He is with us in the darkness, and he can even go as far as blessing us in the places where we feel most broken. Now, in the Old Testament, there was a man called Abraham. He was a descendant of Noah, who had been told by God to leave his family and move to Canaan, and that his family line would be blessed, and that blessing would come ultimately fulfilled through Christ, who brought the blessing of salvation to all men. And as part of God's promise of the blessing that would go through generations of his lineage, Abraham would have a son in his old age. And so at 100 years old, his wife Sarah gave birth to Isaac, who later married a woman called Rebekah. And Isaac and Rebekah had two sons, Jacob and Esau, who were now the grandsons of Abraham and Sarah. Scripture tells us that Jacob and his twin brother Esau wrestled each other in the womb. Before the birth of her sons, God had promised Rebekah that the second-born son, Jacob, would rule over the first-born son. Now, this choice from God was a direct contradiction of the ancient Near Eastern cultural practice of the first-born sons inheriting the father's wealth and estate. So this was already like messing up everything the way it was supposed to be. And this is how we do it in our society. Now suddenly Jacob's going to be the one to inherit what should have been Esau's. And the crazy thing in this is that through his life, even though God had made this promise for Jacob, instead of him waiting for God's timing, Jacob sought to cheat Esau of his birthright by bribery and deceit. Instead of waiting on God to fulfill the promise, he pushed through with his own strength to try and take what God had already said he would give to him. And so he takes Esau's birthright with bribery and deceit. And once Esau realizes that he's been cheated by his brother, he's enraged and he seeks to kill him. So Jacob fled, entering a 20-year period of exile, leaving home and going to stay with his cool uncle called Laban. At the end of the exile, on his return trip home, as Jacob prepares to encounter Esau again in order to reconcile, he's like trying to take it easy and send gifts ahead of him to kind of chill him out before they're about to meet. He's freaking out. He's anxious, doesn't know what the future holds. And while he's on this journey, he stays up all night scheming and sending his wives and children ahead of him in reverse order of importance. And then in the darkness one night, he sits alone in the wilderness. They've now left, and he's on his way, and he doesn't know what the future holds, and if Esau's going to kill him or accept his gifts, and if they're going to reconcile. He's probably regretting some of the decisions he made and going, I should have done it differently, and maybe things would have worked out differently. And while he's sitting in the darkness of night in the wilderness with the anxiety over the situation that he's in with Esau, suddenly a man without warning leaps out of the darkness and wrestles with him. It's like sitting there, can this get any worse? I'm alone. I've sent them off. I don't know if I'm going to die tomorrow because of what I did to my brother. Maybe I should have waited. God did say he would give it to me, but I don't understand. Why does this always happen? And you know, we were fighting all. And he's sitting with all this stuff, and suddenly some guy leaps out in the darkness and attacks him. Perhaps in that moment, Jacob thought he was fighting with his brother Esau, who had come to take vengeance under cover of night. See, he didn't think it was God because he had been asking God to save him. If the crazy thing was that in that moment, he was closer to God wrestling in the dark than in the light of day. Because the person that he was wrestling with was God. What Jacob thought was warfare with the enemy was actually the working of God. What Jacob thought was a thief coming to steal was actually God coming to provide for him. Where he thought he was being broken in defeat, God was bringing blessing. And that feeling of being broken is described in the wrestling between Jacob and God in Genesis chapter 32, verse 25, when it says, when the man, that is the angel of the Lord, when God saw that he could not overpower Jacob, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched. Some versions say dislocated. His hip was dislocated as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. By now, Jacob realized the person he was wrestling with and made him feel broken at the hip was actually God who could bless him. And so the verse continues, but Jacob replied, I will not let you go until you bless me, unless you bless me. Jacob recognized that contrary to his earlier assumption, he was not wrestling against Esau who sought to break his leg, but against God who sought to bless him. This had actually been true of Jacob all through his life. He had been fighting with God, wrestling for a birthright God had already said he would be given as a blessing. He's wrestling, I'm going to get it myself. And here we see him in this moment of darkness, vulnerability and anxiety in a valley of fear. And who he's fighting is not some dark demon in the depths, but it's God himself. See, the reality was that Esau was not his problem, that God was. His toughest battle was not against his brother, it was against God. In the same way, it can sometimes be easier to say no to the devil than yes to God. Saying yes to God may require letting go of the blessings we've been pursuing like Jacob and enduring the dark valley without letting go of who God is. It's so much easier to fight with a God we thought was good when life is bad. So often our battles are far less about the devil, far more about our frustration with a God who we thought was good. Like Jacob, the very thing I'm wrestling against may be the thing God wants to use to bless me. In the New Testament book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verse 10, it tells us that the Jesus we follow was made perfect through suffering. If we follow Jesus to the joy of victory, we also follow him through the darkness of the valley. We don't always recognize God beside us, preparing his blessings when in battle in the middle of our dark valleys. But in the valley by faith, we can say, as Jacob did, God, this is bad, but I won't let go until you bless me. Because in the dark valley, God is not before you, but beside you. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of darkness, you are beside me. And God, I will not let go until you bless me from this very place in which I'm feeling so broken. In the Old Testament of 1 Kings, God's people were being attacked by an enemy known as the Arameans, who thought the God of Israel was only the God of the mountaintops. And so we read in 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 28, the man of God came up and told the king of Israel, this is what the Lord says, because the Arameans think the Lord is a God of the hills and not a God of the valleys, I will deliver this vast army into your hands and you will know that I am the Lord. As God would testify through giving the Israelites victory in a valley, so too would Jacob's testimony be told, because he chose not to let go of God when he was in the dark valley, which he could have tried to escape from. It tells us that in that very place of Jacob's dark encounter and wrestling with God, the angel blessed him. And in Genesis 32, verse 20, it says, Jacob named the place Peniel, which means face of God. For he said, I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been spared. Jacob didn't identify the place of his dark encounter as a victim of defeat. He didn't call it the place of pain or the place of struggle. He could name it Peniel, the place where he saw God face to face when he was most afraid. Christian author Ronald Dunn writes of this. He says, we can only call those dark encounters Peniel when we realize that faith is the wisdom to see treasure in trash, the courage to face things as they are, not as we wish them to be, the boldness to embrace those things and say, I will not let you go unless you bless me, making our greatest weakness our greatest strength. Where am I going with this? Well, the enemy seeks to convince you that our God is the God of the mountaintops, but not the valleys. The enemy is trying so hard to convince you that your God is only the God of the mountaintops and the blessings, but not of the valleys. This is because if he can get you to give up on God and settle in the valley, he can turn what should have been a season of suffering into a life sentence. Oh, well, yeah, I used to do the whole Jesus thing, but, yeah, you know, I lost my wife to cancer, and I was praying, and I believed the Bible, and, yeah, well, I just sit here because that place of darkness is what I label defeat. If we believe our God is only a God of the mountaintops, then we will settle in the valley thinking we are victims, and that means that what should have been a season of suffering in which we would, like Christ, come into his perfection, we would rather settle, and that would become our life sentence. There are too many times where we've labeled a dark place as though we were victims of defeat, and it's time now to begin thinking differently, letting go and rising up, because valleys are for walking through, not settling in. This is why holding on to God through the dark valleys is so important. I don't know if you're in that place right now where it's falling apart, doesn't make sense. You might not have faith to even believe that God is good enough to get you through, but what could it look like if regardless you held on to him and said, God, even though I'm angry, even though I'm not sure this is you, God, I will not let go until you bless me. As Jacob emerged from his dark encounter with God, he would for the rest of his life walk with a limp. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Christian, Get over your little idea that you're perfect in the Lord. Start walking with an honest limp. You see, for the rest of his life, Jacob would leave that place of dark encounter with a limp. But he wasn't a victim. He was a wounded, chosen one. See, if you're a follower of Jesus, woundedness does not define you. Because the wounds of Jesus became the very evidence that gave faith to a man called Thomas in his darkest moment of doubt. As Jacob emerged from that dark encounter, he would for the rest of his life walk with a limp. Yet he wasn't a victim. He was a wounded, chosen one. Not unlike the wounded, chosen ones that we see throughout Scripture, the greatest being our Lord and Savior Jesus, as described in Isaiah 53 when it says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our wickedness, our sin, our injustice, our wrongdoing. The punishment required for our well-being fell on him, and by his stripes, by his wounds, we are healed." All of us like sheep, let's talk about walking through a valley with a good shepherd. All of us like sheep have gone astray. We've turned each one to his own way, just like Jacob. But the Lord has caused the wickedness of us all, our sin, our injustice, our wrongdoing, to fall on him instead of us. That means the stray sheep, like the stray sheep being baptized this evening, like the stray sheep, each one of us sitting in a seat here this evening. That means the stray sheep, you and me, now have a good shepherd who walks beside us in the dark valleys, blessing us when we don't let go of him, even in our state of brokenness. And the limp of our struggles now becomes our testimony of his deliverance instead of a reminder of our defeat. And so let's not forget as we land that first of all, valleys are for walking through, not settling in. Let's not forget that we don't settle in the valley we're called to walk through. Otherwise, what was supposed to be a season in your life will become a life sentence. We must avoid shrinking ourselves into places we've outgrown. We settle when we allow fear to give power to the weapons forged against us by the enemy from the shadows in the dark seasons. And I pray that as we choose to hold on to God and not let go until he blesses us, even in the places of brokenness, that we would experience the voice of his power in those difficult places. As the prophet Isaiah writes in Isaiah 43, verse 1 to 4. But now, God's message, the God who made you in the first place, Jacob, the one who got you started, Israel, don't be afraid. I've redeemed you. I've called you. I've called your name. You're mine. Hey, it's difficult, but when you're in over your head, I'll be there with you. When you're in rough waters, you will not go down. When you're between a rock and a hard place, it won't be a dead end, because I am God, your personal God, the Holy of Israel, your Savior. Because of who you are, I won't let go regardless of what happens, God.